I'm curious, do you know any of the state nicknames? You know the story of any state nicknames? What the nickname for Pennsylvania is? We're called the. Do you know why we're called the Keystone State? Right, so we're the crucial center stone, the arch that holds together the other rocks. When there was the original 13 colonies, Pennsylvania, in the middle of the colonies, your history lesson briefly here, was a key position geographically and economically and even politically in the 13 colonies. Keystone. But there's always been a different state whose nickname has fascinated me. Do you know what Missouri is called? It's the Show Me State. And there's a number of reasons, legends, why this moniker came to be. Here's one I like. Missouri's U.S. Congressman Willard Duncan Van Diver, a U.S. House of Representatives member, he attended a naval banquet in 1899 here in Philadelphia. There in Philadelphia, here in Philadelphia. And in this state, as he was talking about his own state, trying to get folks to talk more plainly, you can't imagine this, the House of Representatives trying to encourage one another to talk more plainly, he says this. I come from a state that raises corn and cotton, cocobears and Democrats. Frothy eloquence neither convicts or satisfies me. I'm from Missouri. You have to show me. You have to show me. Frothy eloquence neither convinces or satisfies me. You have to show me. He goes on in his speech, if you want to go look for it, to talk a bit more, particularly about the Navy and some needs that doesn't particularly fit our circumstance. But it stuck. Missouri as the state where you need to show me to live your life, your words, and then your actions show what you're talking about. I want to invite us today to talk about show me. Live your life so that the God you talk about would be more evident. Maybe I'll even ask us if we should quack in response. I loved it. This is because the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom. The weakness of God is stronger than our strength. In December, our chancel choir and our mission team teamed up together on a collaborative effort. Some of you will remember this in our community. We, down in the borough, offered carols and cocoa at the tree lighting down in West Grove Borough. The mission team prepared the gift bags with mugs and cocoa with information about Christmas. There were gallons of cocoa and transported here from the church down to the circle in front of where the library was. The chancel choir prepared carols to sing and invited those who were gathered to join along in singing. And as we waited for the switch to be flipped to light the tree and Santa to arrive, he comes on the fire truck, you want him to arrive, we handed out piping hot chocolate. We learned to say caliente. We learned to say it was hot so that no one would indeed get burnt. We learned to say it was free. We indicated to our neighbors who were prepared to pay us. As singing set the tone, light conversation, hot chocolate showed a festive atmosphere. We actually had kids who were dancing as there was singing going on. Invitations to Christmas Eve and Sunday worship that was extended. Kindness of simply sharing hot chocolate, kind words that surprised some of our neighbors. Neighbors just talking to neighbors. I want you to show me what a follower of Jesus looks like. A follower of Jesus looks sometimes like a cup of hot chocolate and some songs that kids can sing to. Preach the gospel if necessary. Use words. Fred Craddock, the well-known preacher, recounts his time as a pastor saying this: "We can chat about the weather and everything under the sun, but if you bring up a sacred subject, many of us will start to get a little bit quiet. If we say, let's redo the building, if we say we need a new roof, everyone will come out. But if we ask for talkers, nobody comes. Church volunteers there cut down trees and mow grass and wash windows and fix the table and decorate. But don't ask me to say something about Jesus. Don't ask me. Let me show it, right? Show me what my faith looks like. Let this be your witness with your life." And we'll get around to the "with my words" part two. We might find ourselves saying, "How could it ever be me? Who's the one doing the talking?" Anyway, Paul finds wisdom to the church at Corinth in pointing just to Christ, Christ alone. There could be plenty of us who might think we got disqualified from doing that. As he writes to Corinth, "Only Christ can show us who God is. God's glory that shines through us, not the other way around, not us getting all the glory and God sitting over there. Not our glory that points to Christ." In Matthew, Jesus says, "You have heard it first said, and I say." Jesus calls us not to avoid these calls to righteousness, but to dig in a little bit deeper, to align ourselves with the abiding commandments, to commit ourselves to the transformative power of God's law, not as replacement or supersession, but to focus, so that our lives will show who God is. We might find ourselves thinking, "My previous track record doesn't necessarily sign me up for this kind of showing." As we listen to the Gospel of Matthew today, it was a little uncomfortable to hear at points. I don't think I heard a lot of quacking or amen in our faces or in our voices. Do we think our previous track record as someone who's once or twice held an angry thought, heard that one in there, and who hasn't held an angry thought once or a couple times a day, keeps us away from God? Let us remember, we can reconcile and find renewed life. Are we concerned that there's something that can keep us disconnected from God? Let's see together where Christ finds hope and healing in the future. Should it only be those of us who's got everything perfectly figured out to be a witness for Christ? We're all disqualified. Every single one of us. No, that's not what Jesus says. May we trust God and one another together. Not a checklist of morality, but a flourishing of life. Not a baseline of decency, but an embodied and relational encounter with the Jesus we know. Jesus invites us to follow and show others. That's what you and I are called to do. The world's sorely in need of a demonstration of where the Holy Spirit has been working. Dr. Maya Angelou says, when people show you who they are, believe them. That can be dangerous. When people show you who they are, believe them. Who are you and what is your witness of? In other words, is your life an amen to the proclamation that's already on your lips? You and I are always looking for folks to guide us and to look up to. Can we join that throng? May our lives show others what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus, the kind that not just sees or tells, but is so transformed that it just exudes from us. Show me. Dr. Maya Angelou, the writer and civil rights activist, was also, you might remember, a faith-filled disciple as well. She worshiped in two congregations, one of which was a United Methodist Church in California, and the other was a Baptist church in North Carolina. She didn't see any conflict in those, neither should we. Her faith shaped her actions. She said this, "I found that I knew there was not only a God, but that I was a child of that God. And when I understood that, when I comprehended that, more than that, when I internalized, ingested it, I became courageous. I dared to do anything that was good. I dared to do things that were distant in my future. If God loves me, if God made everything from the leaves to the seals to the oak trees, what is it that I can't do with God?" That's right. What is it that you and I can't do with God? We live out our faith so that others might know about this Jesus that we talk about. It was a few women who initially were the ones who saw Jesus right after his resurrection, who saw the life-changing moment, and they couldn't keep quiet. Thanks be to God they couldn't keep quiet. That's how you and I know about Jesus today. Their words and their countenance spread. I think it was a show me kind of moment, the incredible news of resurrection. From then on, it was the lives of followers that exponentially grew across generation. We're at millennia now, until now, where it got handed off to you and to me, where our words, but our lives, have the witness of faith. We have a part in showing the faith that we have seen. This week, the week that comes after Valentine's Day, maybe y'all knew this, I didn't, is actually Random Acts of Kindness Week. I thought that sounded very invitational. Random Acts of Kindness Week. Our Sunday school children would share with us that kindness is one of the fruits of the Spirit. They've been learning about the fruits of the Spirit. Ask them about them. They've been associating them with all kinds of different physical fruits. They even went on a scavenger hunt for them. This indicates the ways in which the Holy Spirit is manifest through us, and Christ then is known to others. While Random Acts of Kindness might not have been shaped out of a faith-filled motivation, everything that faithful people do is faith-filled. So I want to invite you in this next week to show me, be the kind of people who witness their faith through random acts of the Holy Spirit. Random acts of kindness, it's one of the fruits of the Spirit. So what can you do? I have a few suggestions. You'll have plenty of your own as well. What does it look like to text a friend you've not spoken to in a while? It looks like showing the love of Christ. What does it look like to call a relative who might be alone? They can certainly use that kind of connection. Maybe they want to hear a joke or a pun. Y'all might be better at that than I am. I've heard some of those good puns. Compliment a friend you've not yet met. It's a way I like to say stranger. Compliment a friend you've not yet met so that you might begin to share a relationship. Pay for the next person in line. You all have heard about this plenty of times. I love when I go to Starbucks and I get caught in that loop. It's happened to me more than once down here in Jennersville, where the person behind me and I get to pass it on to pay forward that kind of fruit of the Spirit. Bake cookies for someone who's homebound. Wash somebody else's dishes. If that isn't the fruits of the Spirit, I don't know what is. That kind of service and gentleness, thanks be to God. Donate paper towels or toilet paper to the food pantry. Send a care package to our military personnel. We give thanks to God for their service and think of ways we can reach out with kindness. Share good feedback at a restaurant or a store. We're really good at sharing the other kind of feedback. What does it look like to commit to showing our faith in other ways? And hug a friend or pet a fur baby. Y'all know what that's like as well. But most of all, let the light of Christ shine through you so that seeing your good works, people might come to know Christ and give thanks to God in heaven. Show me, God says, your faith so that others might come to believe. This, my friends, is the gospel. It's the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.